Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
What's up, guys? Here we are back once again. Couple of hot topics for us to discuss in this one. We even brought in a guest, our great friend Evan Western from Acme Packing Company, to talk about the Aaron Rodgers decision to not only continue his career, but to do so in New York with the Jets. And, you know, going to get his thoughts, his feelings on it. Was, you know, was it one of those things? It was just inevitable. It had to happen at some point, because it's kind of been this exhausting drama that the Packer fans have had to deal with. Well, football fans in general have had to deal with this, because Aaron Rodgers news is going to be front page news pretty much no matter what. But, you know, it is. Are they relieved to finally have it over with? Are they sad to lose him? Or does, you know, last year's mediocre performance soften the blow? We'll talk to Evan. We'll get all that info. We'll get his thoughts and feelings about Aaron Rodgers and leaving the team, and his thoughts and feelings on Jordan Love and the future of the Green Bay Packers. We'll see how that discussion goes. I know that Bear fans are feeling pretty great about it. I have very mixed feelings about it. Obviously, I'm thrilled to see Rodgers gone. That's what we've wanted for a long time now, but especially like the last 2 or 3 years, where it was, you know, he's in his late 30s, he's getting up there, you know, retirement is well within his clutches at this point. But, you know, I'm also kind of upset that, you know, we're watching Ryan Poles kind of laid the foundation for what could be long-term success, and our next game against the Packers, Rodgers won't be there to see if we can compete, if we could finish him, if we could finally beat him. I mean, nothing is going to top the Bears were never going to even up a 22-5 win-loss record against Aaron Rodgers. But maybe we could have put a cherry on it like we did with Lovey in the final years of Brett Favre's time in Green Bay. As a matter of fact, in Lovey took over in 2004, and 04, 05, and 07, they swept the Packers, because 07 was Green Bay, was Favre's last year in Green Bay. And in 06, they beat Green Bay in the opener 26-0 week one, and then finished the year in a meaningless, like, New Year's Eve game where the Bears started benching starters in the first half. So, you know, Green Bay won that game. It didn't really mean anything. It was like the first time that Favre danced with retirement. But he came back in 07. The Bears swept the Packers, despite the fact that we were 7-9 and, you know, definitely feeling the Super Bowl loser's curse. And, you know, but we swept Green Bay that year. It was pretty great, both of those games. One of them was a Sunday night game, the 4th-and-1 to Desmond Clark for the touchdown. And then we won 35-7, like one of the coldest games in Soldier Field history. Urlacher picks off Favre, takes it back like 85 yards for a touchdown. It was just so great. We won like 35-7 in that game. So anyway, we will unfortunately not be able to do that to Aaron Rodgers as he's off to the Jets. You know, maybe we'll get a shot. Maybe we'll get one more shot at him in a Jet uniform before he hangs it up for good. Who knows? Fingers crossed that when the real Bears finally show up and we get our hands on Rodgers again, maybe we'll come out on top. We'll have to wait and see. But anyway, let's go ahead and dive right in. We got our talk with Evan Western talking about Aaron Rodgers and the state of the Packers. And after we get done with that, we're going to do a quick free agency review The first wave, and I guess you could say the second wave of free agency is kind of over with. I mean, there's still some names out there to be had, some people that could be added to the roster. But I think we've signed who we're going to sign as far as big money deals and whatnot. We'll talk about who we get, who we got, who we didn't, who we lost, and everything else. Got a lot to get to, so let's go ahead and get started. This is the Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets reaction review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. So let's get to it. Hang up the telephone. I hear the dial tone ringing out loud. So we're in the guts of free agents. Free agency, I should say. We should be, what are we, in the second wave? The third? Anyway, we're deep into it now. The Bears have made several moves. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But we want to address the elephant in the room, and I guess this would be Pat McAfee's room, or, you know, I guess because that's the only place he feels like talking to anybody. But we're bringing in our good friend from Acme Packing Company, Evan Western, to share his thoughts and feelings on Aaron Rodgers' major decision that he wants to continue his career in a Jet uniform. Evan, welcome back, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. No, we missed the second Packers-Bears game this year, so it's nice to have an excuse to get together again, even if it's, you know, talking about our mercurial, obnoxious quarterback.
So let me ask you, man. We just talked about it just a moment ago before we started recording here. How do you feel, and how do you, like, you know, as a member of Acme Packing Company, how do you assess, like, your reader base, your fan base, or whatever? How do you feel about this whole thing? I mean, is it kind of like a relief that it's finally over? Are you sad to see him go? Are you happy to see him go? I mean, what's the temperature of the water out there these days?
All of those, I think, are appropriate in different measures. Mm. So I think everybody's done with the drama, with him going on McAfee and talking about how he loves direct communication, but then is really, really vague about everything that he says.
Right.
like, yeah, he loves direct communication when it comes one way at him, but not going the other way.
Right.
But it's things like that. It's, you know, everything around him in the last couple of years has just been, you know, been a circus. And I think Packers fans in general, myself included, I think are ready to move on and turn the page. And I think this is a very different conversation than it would have been a year ago, because
yeah,
a year ago, he's coming off of two straight MVPs. They certainly could have moved on last year and decided, no, we want you back. We want you back for next year. And the quality of play obviously dropped off significantly last year. And when he's not playing at an elite level, that means that all of the off the field stuff becomes less tolerable.
Right.
And so you, I think, need to turn the page. And this is the parallels between this situation and the situation 2008 with Favre and Rodgers.
Right.
All of these parallels, you know, are coming into play again. Jordan Love sitting for 3 years and now getting to take over the reins in his fourth year. Same thing with Rodgers. So, but no, I think the fan base in general is ready to move on from Rodgers, ready to see what Jordan Love has and what he can do. And the line out of Green Bay has been that Jordan Love is ready, and he took a big step this year, and they're excited about him taking over as a starting quarterback. And I think we need to see what this kid's got.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to see what the Matt LaFleur offense looks like with quarterback who's willing to run it rather than kind of put his own stamp on,
right,
on that offensive scheme, because this was very much a Rodgers offense with a lot of LaFleur concepts, but it always seemed like Rodgers kind of held the final cards. Now you've got a guy in Love who's going to be running LaFleur's offense. You saw a little bit of what we think he can do in that end of that Eagles game the week before Packers played the Bears in the second half of the season, when Love looked great. So there's flashes there. There's some excitement, and it feels a lot like 2008, except there are a lot fewer people who are criticizing the front office, I think, for moving on from the veteran quarterback this time than there were 15 years ago.
Yeah, he really did kind of wear out his welcome to the, like, when we finally got to the end here. It was just like the dam kind of broke on that one. Mm-hmm. With Favre, he was pretty much great up until the end. I mean, in 2007, he had an outstanding year in 07. You guys, you know, after being like, what, 6-10, maybe 7-9 the year before in 06, in 07, you're 12-4. You can make it all the way to the NFC Championship game. You're hosting the NFC title game. You got the Giants in overtime. Favre throws the pick, and then it was over. But it was a season worth remembering. Favre was fantastic despite his age and playing 6,000 games in a row and all that kind of stuff. Whereas Rodgers, and in his last year, like you said, the play teetered off. The team was not successful. You know, they lose to the Lions at home in the last game of the season. I mean, it was a very unceremonious ending for Aaron Rodgers and the Aaron Rodgers era.
Yeah, and it felt like when he was walking off the field at the end of that game, you could just sort of feel that it seemed like the end. Mm-hmm. His body language, just the way he was kind of looking around at Lambeau, on that Sunday night game and sort of trying to take everything in, it seemed pretty clear that he thought there was a really good chance that this might be the last time he was playing in a Packers uniform.
Yeah, and especially that little bromance that he had with Randall Cobb as they came off the field together. It's like they couldn't keep their hands off of each other, you know, arm in arm, you know, arms, you know, Rodgers putting his arm over around, you know, Cobb as they talk and walk back. I heard later on that I think Jamal Williams wanted to trade jerseys, and he's like, nah, I think I'm going to hang on to this one. It's like, you know, it's a lot of it spoke volumes in what he thought was ahead. You know, whether he was playing it safe, I'm going to hang on to this one just in case, or I'm hanging on to this one because this is probably the last time I'm walking off this field. So it was quite an interesting turn of events. I mean, tragic ending, same as Favre. Obviously, the ending did not go the way that either of them wanted. But Favre was, you know, one play away from the Super Bowl, whereas Rodgers needed to beat the Lions just to make the playoffs, where he would have been most likely a sacrificial lamb to, who was the two seed? San Francisco in the first round? I mean, that's the last thing you guys needed was to be playing San Francisco in the goddamn playoffs again. So, it was going to end ugly for Rodgers, seemed like, either way last year.
Yeah. One of the frustrating things almost now that we look back at the end of the season in hindsight is that winning streak that the team went on late, because if they were eliminated from the playoffs, the front office had kind of said, and the coaching staff said, that, all right, at that point, maybe we'll take a look at Jordan Love, get him into a couple games and see what he can do.
Yeah.
But because they ripped off those four straight wins and were still mathematically alive, and then, you know, got all the help they needed down the stretch, right, to end up going into week 18, basically just needing to win and get in, that kept him alive. And certainly Rodgers was going to want to compete and try to make the postseason, and the team as a whole still saw that as an opportunity. So, in hindsight, you got to wonder if it might have been better all around for everybody if they were able to pass the torch a little bit in those last couple weeks and get a little bit longer of a look at Love.
Yeah.
It certainly would have made the discussions around this offseason a little more interesting, with at least the fan base having a little more information about Love. You would have loved to have had more than whatever it was, 40 snaps or something like that he had this season to go off. So
wish that salary cap wise that maybe this move was made a year ago, seeing that you signed a $150 million guaranteed extension going into 2022?
Well, that definitely is a part of the equation here as far as the Jets are concerned and as far as the trade compensation is concerned, right? Because whoever plays him or whoever gets him this season is going to have to basically pay him a $60 million bonus to play this season. That's going to hit the cap and spread out over a couple of years. And it makes the trade compensation a lot more complicated, because anybody who's going to acquire him is going to have to foot that $60 million bill.
Yeah, here we are having this conversation. We're talking on Wednesday night. Rodgers made his decision last Tuesday afternoon, And, you know, you and I were talking, what, last Wednesday, last Thursday, about getting together to talk about this.
Yeah.
And my thing was that I wanted to hold out for an actual deal to get done. But here we are 8 days later, and it's, you know, nighttime on the eighth day. We're nowhere near a deal at this point, because I was hoping to, it's like, not only how do you feel about Rodgers leaving, how do you feel about, you know, that, the whole divorce and all that kind of stuff, and also how do you feel about what the Packers got in return? Right now, we're just speculating about what the Packers want or what the package could be, what the Jets are willing to give up and all that kind of stuff. Rodgers has put it out there that he'd be willing to discuss, you know, amending or fixing his contract to be more cap friendly to the Jets, but he's got to be a New York Jet first in order for that to happen. And this Mexican standoff that the Packers and the Jets are in right now, where one thinks the other one has the, you know, each one thinks they have the leverage to hold on to the deal, is getting into this, man. I mean, we're in late March. I mean, dude, next Saturday's April 1st already. I mean, we're only 4 weeks away, 5 weeks away from the draft taking place. The Jets need to know, are they going to have to, you know, maybe make some maneuvering to trade up to get themselves another quarterback? Are they going to have to go another year with Zach Wilson? Or are they going to stop effing around and get Aaron Rodgers in camp so they can, you know, move forward here?
Yeah, the leverage thing is such a hot button topic on Twitter and on sports media right now. And it's hilarious to me.
Yeah.
Because the Packers, what happens if the Packers don't trade Rodgers right away? He sits on the roster for a while. If anything, it actually helps them on the cap if they don't move him until after June 1st.
Right.
Because then you can split up the cap hit over 2 years rather than eating the whole $40 million this year. And you've got Jordan Love, who you know is going to be your starting quarterback this year anyway. For the Jets, if they don't get a deal done, what the hell are they going to do at quarterback?
Yeah.
So it fundamentally just boils down to what are the alternatives for these teams if the trade doesn't happen? And the alternative for the Packers is a lot more palatable than it is for the Jets.
Yeah.
Especially at least in the next several months. So I think that ultimately the leverage question has been beaten to death at this point.
Right.
But I think certainly there's an impetus to get it done before this year's draft. The Packers would like to have draft pick compensation this year to try to help Jordan Love in 2023.
Right. And you know what? Yeah. It's like when you want to talk about leverage, like the Jets have leverage so that Green Bay doesn't have to swallow a $60 million cap hit. The Packers have leverage because of what? Because of the quarterback situation. Because yep. Mike White, their hero backup quarterback, just signed with the Dolphins, so that option is out of there. And just about anybody that they probably would entertain signing signed elsewhere while we were waiting for Rodgers to make his decision.
Yep.
So, I mean, the Jets are really stuck. I mean, they've got Zach Wilson, but they've already made the decision they're moving on from Zach Wilson. I mean, just having the discussion for Aaron Rodgers put them in that spot. They weren't able to lasso Derek Carr while, you know, Rodgers was on his darkness retreat. And sometime we're going to have to sit down and talk about what the hell a darkness retreat is.
Oh, my but God.
Anyway, while he was sitting in darkness, you know, contemplating life or whatever, the Jets weren't able to get Derek Carr to come to them. He goes to New Orleans. So their backup and then, you know, their backup plan, their plan B, C, D, E, and F all have gone elsewhere, and at this point they're going to have to settle for guys like Teddy Bridgewater and people like that in order to put something together on the field or go forward with Zach Wilson after they just spent the entire offseason trying to replace him.
And let's face it, the head coach and the GM of the Jets do not have a very long leash anymore,
right?
Joe Douglas is not going to get another shot at drafting another rookie quarterback, I don't think. So they need to get this right, and they need to turn things around immediately, or Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh might be out of a job at the end of this season.
Right.
So, and yeah, who gives you the best chance to do that this year? Is it a rookie quarterback that you have to mortgage your entire draft this year and next year for to get up to one of those guys in the top four or five? Or is it somebody like Rodgers that, you know, can come in and immediately, even in a down year like he had last year, had a historically great season by the comparison of other Jets quarterbacks in that franchise's history. Right. So yeah, there's and there's talent around that. The rest of that there team, is. Right? There's,
yeah.
There's Garrett Wilson won Offensive Rookie of the Year. Sauce Gardner won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. That defense has been built through the draft and is really, really good. And there's weapons on offense for Rodgers to throw to. And they got one of his buddies in Alan Lazard.
Alan Lazard, yeah.
So you've got a diverse set of receivers out there.
Yeah, and if that kid, Breece Hall comes back healthy, they're going to hit the ground running on offense. They just need someone to drive the ship.
Exactly. Yeah. So this team is set up to have some success next year. But they need the quarterback to do it, and they need a fairly proven option, because you're not going to do it with a project rookie. It's just not going to happen. And clearly it's not going to happen with Zach Wilson either.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny that, like you said, the parallels between the Rodgers and Favre's situation, they both won, you know, kind of wore out their welcome. The last few years, they kind of, you know, were, you know, for lack of a better phrase, prick teasing the team as far as I'm going to come back. I'm not, I want to keep playing. I'm not. Favre would retire and then change his mind and, you know, all that kind of stuff, to the point where in 08, they're like, you know what, that's enough of this. You say you want to come back, we'll go play somewhere else. We're going on with Rodgers. And that's where the Packers are right now with Jordan Love. They've had enough and they want to move on and, you know, start building toward the future. And, you know, somehow 15 years apart, the Jets are the destination for both of these guys. Whereas the Packers basically gave Favre away 15 years ago for like a fourth round pick or whatever it is. They are standing firm, heels dug into the ground, even though Favre had a better season than Rodgers did in his last year in a Packer uniform. They're hanging on to the fact that, you know, Brady played until he was 68 years old. So far, you know, Rodgers has still got some good years left, and you don't need Rodgers to be Superman for the Jets like the 08 Jets did. It was not as good a situation that Favre walked into that Rodgers is walking into with that franchise. I mean, it's really kind of amazing that it ends up being the same team that both those guys get traded off to.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the trade compensation thing is still fascinating, right?
Yeah.
Right? So just today, I mean, maybe it's a good thing we waited until today to do this, because the Jets did make a move that is going to, you know, affect what they have to offer the Packers with trading Elijah Moore off to the Browns for what is it, the 42nd pick. So now the Jets have back-to-back picks early in the second round, mm-hmm. 42 and 43. That seems to me to be the kind of move where the Packers said, all right, if we can't get number 13 from you, the 13th overall pick, get us 2 second round picks. And we don't want Elijah Moore for whatever reason, you know, fine. So, and clearly the Jets didn't want him anymore. He had a falling out. So move him, get a second round pick and send those two, 42 and 43, off to the Packers. And you look at those trade value charts and things, and those two picks together are kind of worth a late teens first round pick, 17, 19, depending on the chart that you look at.
Sure.
So it's kind of a way of getting that first round value without actually getting a first round pick. So maybe everybody gets to save a little face with that sort of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, depending on which draft analyst you talk to, 42 and 43 are late first-round picks as far as the talent pool in the draft is concerned. I mean, sometimes there aren't enough players to fill out a first round as far as the you know, top prospects are, and then sometimes you can get first-round talent deep into the second round, and I think they're saying this is one of those drafts where, you know, like the Bears are going to be able to get themselves a quality offensive lineman or an edge rusher at 53 when they finally pick again in the second round versus, you know, having to snag Will Anderson or Jalen Carter at number one like they would have if they had kept the pick. So it's an interesting draft, and those picks together would hold great value. Do you think the Packers would bite on either 42 or 43 and a conditional next year?
I think right now with the Jets holding both of those, they want both of those picks. Like I said, I feel like the Elijah Moore trade was to set up to get the assets that they need to send to the Packers to come to an agreement. So I definitely think the Packers would love to get both of those two. And then add a conditional pick in 2024 on top of it. Because the other possibility that had been floated out there was, all right, get the second rounder, get the conditional pick, and then get a player. A lot of people were talking about Elijah Moore potentially being that player who comes in there. Now he's gone and they got a pick back for him. So maybe that's the way that they find a way to compromise here.
So let's talk about the team in general, because, you know, I've been keeping a decently close eye on free agency, and this seems like more of a Ron Wolf type of free agent period where they're not signing anybody, and everyone that they're kind of iffy on, they let them go. I mean, Alan Lazard signed elsewhere, and, you know, they're just letting guys go. Robert Tonyan is a Bear, for Pete's sake, and, you know, guys are disappearing. Who? I mean, I know the cupboard's not bare, but who's left for Jordan Love to throw the football to?
Yeah, that's the big question, right? He's got the two guys who came in as rookies last year. So Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs. Obviously, Watson went nuclear kind of late in the season.
Yeah, he did.
That big stretch of games where I think he had like 8 touchdowns in 4 games or something like that. So he's going to be your number one. I do think the Packers, it'll be really funny if it happens this year, but it very well could happen that the Packers take a receiver in the first round. I think you could see, like, if Quentin Johnston falls to 15, the guy from TCU, maybe Jaxon Smith-Njigba from Ohio State, he might be in play there at 15. It would be a little bit ironic that, you know, Packers fans have waited for 20 plus years and all of Rodgers' career without getting a first receiver in the first round, and they do it the year that they trade him away. Yeah. So, yeah, that's at least a possibility. There's some other guys in the second day that I think could be in there too. But no, you're right. They haven't made a splash free agency wise. Literally everybody they brought back or signed in free agency, either internal or external, have been special teamers. So Keyshawn Nixon, kick returner, slot corner, they brought him back. Rudy Ford, special teamer, backup safety, brought him back. And then they got a long snapper from the Rams and a special teams safety from the 49ers. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah, the two best jobs in the NFL, backup quarterback and long snapper.
Yeah,
and those guys are practically stealing money in the NFL. I mean, it's ridiculous. And if you're a decent long snacker, you can make, you know, $1.5 million a year. I mean, because Patrick Manley, he was on the team most games ever in a Bears uniform, and he was a long snapper for like 17 years, and his salary in his 17th year was like $2 million to snap the ball. So I mean, it's welfare. It's welfare as far as the NFL is concerned these days. But as far as regular people are concerned, $2 million a year, that's substantial money. Mm-hmm. That is, you know, life-changing, not going to have to worry about a damn thing when I'm done playing money right there. I mean, it's crazy. And then, you know, my favorite backup quarterback of all time was Chase Daniel, because that guy's made more money playing, not playing, than he has than any other player in the history of the NFL. I mean, and because he's a quarterback, he's making $8 million a year to back up nobody, to come in, you know, back up Trubisky in 2018, 2019, or whatever it was, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. It's a racket. Those two positions right there, backup quarterback and long snapper. You'll be a very rich man, and you'll probably still have your body when you're done with your career.
Well, so, and especially if you can get a gig behind a quarterback who doesn't miss time. Like, imagine being Brett Favre's backup in Green Bay, being Doug Peterson.
All those guys became coaches. Yeah, it's
like, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's the best gig if you can get it. Hold a clipboard, you know, maybe you have to go in for 5 snaps a year, and that's about it.
Yeah, playing behind, you know, Favre, Mahomes, you know, Brady, and you know, guys that just don't miss time.
Peyton, Eli, yeah, those guys.
You're just out there stealing money, you know. You just got to make sure that you're ready. That's all you have to do is be ready. That's it.
Yeah, the one that I always think back to is Jim Sorgi. Went to Wisconsin, played at Wisconsin for a couple of years, and then ended up backing up. I think he started in Indy backing up Peyton, and then he signed as a free agent with the Giants and backed up Eli. And he had like an 8-year career backing up those two guys, you know, probably only made league minimum the whole time, but that probably means he made, you know, $5 million over his career. So good for you, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, are the Packers going to be players in the late wave of free agency? Are they still waiting to get, you know, Rodgers off the books before they can start spending money, and then that frees up some cap space for you guys? Or are you just going to ride herd with what you got, make your picks in the draft, and go forward from there?
Well, here's the irony is the Packers actually have a bigger cap hit if they trade Rodgers before June 1st
right.
than if they just hold on to him. So he's costing the team about $31 million in the cap right now. If they trade him, the dead money on his signing bonuses ends up going up to about $40 million. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think, part of it is that the team has roughly $24 million in cap space, something like that. But that's going to shrink by about $9 million once they trade him. So then you're down to 15. You've got a draft class to pay for. You've got your practice squad in season additions and things. So there's not that much money to still go around. Mm-hmm. And they've basically pushed off just about every dollar of cap space that they can into future years. So I don't expect any big name guys coming in this year. I think they're going to have to fill out with a couple of, you know, budget guys on, you know, maybe $2 million contracts, something like that.
Yeah. So we're not going to get a, you know, a last minute Frank Clark signing, you know, before training camp or something like that, where you give them the last $7 million you have on the books just to get them in there.
I don't see that. Yeah. We're not going to have, like, you know, Charles Woodson back in 2006 when he signed with the Packers in like late April before the draft. I don't see that happening this year. I think this is the key players on this team are already there, and then they're going to focus on the draft class, and they're going to fill in with a couple of role players here and there. Maybe they find, you know, a veteran receiver who gets cut for cap purposes, or, you know, somebody who's just kind of still floating out there in a couple of weeks. Maybe they find a tight end, same situation, but That's about where this team, I think, is at, is that bargain area of free agency where they've tried things in the past and they haven't really worked out.
Yeah. You
know, they tried signing Devin Funchess a couple years ago. I don't think he even ended up playing a game for the Packers. They signed Sammy Watkins last year and he ended up playing like 8 games, and then the team waived him.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not holding my breath for a big swing. Mm-hmm. I think that they're going to really be gearing up for, you know, trying to bring a really big, good, talented draft class in and using that to really be how they build around Jordan Love.
Do you think that could be another sticking point in these trade negotiations, that the Jets want it to be an immediate thing and the Packers want it to be a post-June 1 trade?
That's a possibility. I think for the Packers, the benefit of just getting free and clear of Rodgers' contract entirely and putting all that dead money on this year's cap, and being able to get draft compensation for this year is important enough to do it now.
Sure.
But if you get to a point where you get through the draft and the trade hasn't happened, then the Packers have absolutely no reason to do it before June 1st.
Right.
Because they're not getting those picks for this year. You're going to be looking entirely at 24 and 25 picks. And at that point, then you wait until June. And, I mean, you can roll over some of that cap space to next year if you need to. So that's when I think it would kick in. But I think as we get closer to the draft, the Packers will probably maybe ease up a little bit and try to get a deal done, because it's important enough to get those picks for this year.
So what do you think the forecast for this year's team is? And I know this is greatly premature. We don't have a schedule yet. Free agency is still going on. We don't have a draft, you know, like what they like to say at the end of the season, the super way too early predictions for next year. You know, what do you think the Packers are looking at? I mean, because year one for Rodgers, what was it, 6-10, 7-9, something like 10, that?
Yeah.
So it was, you know, he kind of stumbled out of the gate, which I think people expected. What I don't think they expected was for him to be another Hall of Famer right off the heels of the one you guys got rid of. So, you know, I know that the odds makers are not being kind to you guys, not thinking that there's no way this happens 3 times in a row. What do you think the Packers are looking at least for year one?
Yeah, it's 2008's a good place to start and thinking through how that transition worked, right? Packers offense was actually pretty good that year. Rodgers started off looking pretty good, not the you know, ridiculous Rodgers that he turned into, but he was still pretty darn good. I'm looking at the numbers now. They finished fifth in the NFL in scoring. And they blew a lot of games late. Rodgers led a lot of comebacks in the fourth quarter, and then the defense gave him away. And I think that team finished something like 2-8 in one score games, something like that.
Oh, wow.
So yeah. They really, really, I think, underperformed based on record how good that team was, just because they choked away so many games late in the fourth quarter. Looking at this year, I don't know that they've got the same level of talent at the playmaking positions, especially at receiver, right? You've got some young talent. Watson looks like he could be a budding star, but you know, we've seen flashes from guys and then seen him disappear before. You still got Aaron Jones and AJ Dillon running the ball. So right. That's going to be, I think, where they're really going to lean on early on and try to focus on the run game and let Love work off of play action like Matt LaFleur really loves to do. So I think the offense could be, you know, decent, right?
Yeah, because you still have the offensive line and things like that. So you're talented up front, which is a great equalizer for, you know, stabilizing the offense. You can at least rely on the run while the rookie, well, not rookie, but while the new quarterback is figuring it out.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of it's going to depend on, you know, certainly on Love and how his development comes along. I think this team probably has a ceiling as, you know, maybe a 10 or 11 win team if everything goes right.
Right.
If Jordan Love looks really good, if the defense maintains some of the play that they had late in the season when they were like actually, you know, looking good and saving Joe Barry's job. But I think it's equally likely that this is a 6 or 7 win team. Mm-hmm. I think it really, that spectrum of it's a bell curve that you know, goes anywhere from that, you know, 5 or 6 wins up to 10 or 11. And that's the only way to know it is to watch it play out. So there's just so many unknowns. There's so many variables that we just don't know.
Well, I mean, just in the division alone, there's so many variables. Are the Lions going to keep going, or are the Lions going to Lion? You know, are the Vikings are having a fire sale and letting guys go and all that kind of stuff. Are they going to be able to win 13 games again, or are they going to be the Bears and fall off the cliff and only win 3 or 4 games while Kirk Cousins takes a beating all season long and all that kind of stuff? Will the Bears be able to, you know, actually put something together with DJ Moore, you know, in that trade and, you know, to go along with Claypool and Mooney you know, Dante Foreman coming in from Carolina to go with Khalil Herbert, and we got Tonyan to go along with Kmet. I mean, on paper, it looks great. We still got a lot of work to do on that defense. Those linebackers are definitely going to help. But is that going to be enough? Will we find that 3-tech that we need to secure the middle of the field and all that kind of stuff? A lot of questions floating around the NFC North. How anyone could confidently say anyone's going to win that division right now would be a mystery to me. It's like you got to do a lot of reasoning to kind of, you know, get to a place where you're like, yep, 100% the Lions are winning the division, no doubt in my mind. It's like, well, you're either a Lions fan or you've not been paying attention to the history of the Detroit Lions, because they've been able to string a couple seasons together before, but then they go back to being the Lions and they inexplicably lose 12 games for no reason, or, you know, or go on a 7-game losing streak in the middle of the season that no one can really wrap their head around. And, you know, the Vikings are very much an up and down franchise. We know how the Bears like to roller coaster their fan base with their success and their losing and everything. The only constant in the North since the North became the North in 2002, when they did the realignment, has been the Packers won it more times than they lost it. But with Favre going, Rodgers coming in, you know, the roster not being as solid as it's been lately, it's really a wide open division. So, I mean, I guess that's why we as Bear fans are optimistic, because we got just as good a chance to win the division as anybody else because it's so up there this year.
Yeah, I mean, if you're telling me to, you know, give me $10 to go to Vegas and put it on a team to win the division, I'm putting it on Detroit.
Yeah,
but I'm certainly not going to claim that, you know, I'm super confident in that pick. And I wouldn't be, you know, I'm not much of a betting man anyway, but right. I certainly wouldn't be comfortable putting much money down on any of these four teams at this point.
Yeah.
Just on paper, I mean, I feel like they've made some really strong moves in free agency this year too, to bolster that defense, mm-hmm. Especially in the secondary, which was, you know, has been pretty bad for the Lions the last couple of years. So I think that's going to help them quite a bit. And, They definitely seem to me right now, at least on paper, to be the best team in the division. But obviously, we know that doesn't always work out.
Yeah, we've all been lied to before when it comes to the Lions. Matt Stafford, we tell you personally, you know, how that worked out. And, you know, they had those really amazing offenses in 2011 and 2014, went on playoff runs, but they were one and done, never to be heard from again, you know, kind of thing as far as their success rate. Was concerned. I mean, this is a franchise that kind of like the Bears, to be honest with you, but this is a franchise that was thrilled with the 2-9-7 seasons that Jim Caldwell put together before they fired him because it just wasn't good enough. We got to bring in Matt Patricia. And it was like, oh, there go the Lions doing Lion things.
Yep.
And they tried to do New England West, and that did not work out. So here we are right now with Campbell, who's talking about chewing kneecaps in his initial press conference. And, you know, They made fans of us all during Hard Knocks and everything, but came out of the gate week 1-6 before they finally figured it out and almost made the playoffs, but came up just short in the end. So, you know, the Lions were still the Lions for the first 7 weeks of the season. And I'm happy to say it was the Bears that got them started on that winning streak. But, you know, it happens that way, I guess. But the Lions, in the end, still didn't meet the call. They didn't make the playoffs, and you know, a lot can happen in a 17-game schedule, as you know. And so it's with everything that's going on in the division, all of the changes and what have you, it's being able to definitively say, you know, you can make a case for everybody winning this division one way or the other this year. So the NFC is also wide open as well. It's like Philly and San Francisco, maybe Dallas, and literally everyone else after that. It's like you still got four open playoff spots after those three teams. So it's crazy wide open in the NFC this year.
Well, just think about the quarterbacks in the NFC. If Rodgers gets traded, Brady's retired.
Yep.
So you're looking at who's your best quarterbacks in the conference? It's probably Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, and then where else do you go? I mean,
yeah.
Do you put Jared Goff and Kirk Cousins in there? Like,
right.
There's nobody who really strikes any fear in you. Everybody. I mean, the AFC is so stacked at the quarterback position. It's not even funny. Yeah. I feel like, you know, you can make an argument that at the end of the season, Jordan Love might be a top five NFC quarterback, depending on, you know, how things shake out.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah. Good Morning Football did a segment on this, I think last week, where each of them picked their top five quarterbacks in the NFC. And I think Fields made two of the four lists. He didn't make the other ones. Cousins didn't make two of the lists. You know, that was kind of, I mean, it's like the only person that made all four lists was Jalen Hurts. And then it was all over the place after that.
Yeah.
And but it's one of those things where, you know, like go back like 10 years, a guy like Justin Fields might have cracked the top 10 in the NFC. But with the state of the NFC now, even with the question marks around him as a passer, but what he can produce with his legs and leading an offense, he's top five in the NFC right now. And he's still got a lot of things to answer before they, you know, before we can sit back and call him a complete quarterback. I mean, the Bears are committed to getting Justin Fields everything he needs to succeed, but I'm not sure they're 100% committed to him going forward. This is the year that's going to make or break him, because after this season, they got to make a decision on the fifth-year option and all that kind of stuff. We got two ones in 2024 that maybe we could package those up to move up to get, you know, like a Caleb Williams or somebody like that in the first round if this whole Justin Fields thing doesn't work out. The Bears have set themselves up to have options, and it's up to Fields and company to make sure that he takes those options away to be undeniable.
Yep. No, that's exactly it. But yeah, the fact that like you said, the fact that he's even in the conversation for top five quarterbacks in the NFC speaks to a lot more to the lack of great options in the conference.
At this point. And I'm not saying that Justin Fields is a bad option. I'm just saying that in the AFC, maybe he's 9 or 10 on that list in the AFC best, behind, yeah. You know, at best, at best, he's cracking the top 10 in the AFC. Yep. You know, but it's like in the NFC, it's the talent pool is shallow, so he can be way up at the top. You know, I think I saw him the highest on those people that had him on his list was like 3 in the NFC. So, I mean, and like I said, that's more Justin Fields, the player, more so than Justin Fields, the quarterback, because obviously he was a lot more effective as a runner than he was as a passer last year. And we can get into. We're not going to get into the weeds about why that is, but you know, hopefully that's something the Bears are addressing and are going to fix between now and kickoff this year. So, oh boy. So, yeah, I mean, this has all been very interesting with Rodgers and the saga. I have very bittersweet feelings about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously as a Bear fan, I'm very happy to say that, you know, I mean, obviously things could change, but right here, right now, with where everybody's heels are dug in, we're not looking at another double Rodgers, you know, I own you type season. First one in 15 years where we don't have to worry about that. Because during his entire tenure in Green Bay, we never swept the Packers. Yep. So, you know, we beat Aaron Rodgers a few times. And we were never going to even up the win-loss record. We're never going to, you know, it would take us another decade to square up on 22-5. But it's unfortunate that we weren't able to, you know, basically put the cherry on top the way that Lovey put it on Favre.
Yeah.
Because he started with the coach as coach in 04, and they swept him in 04, 05, and 07, and then Favre was gone. So 6 of the 10 games, 6 or 7 of the 8 games, the Bears won on Favre's way out, whereas Rodgers won like the last 8 against the Bears on his way out. So he definitely got the final say in this rivalry. And then thank God, thanks to social media and everything, that I own you thing was everywhere. And it's one of those lasting moments that's going to be around forever. And, you know, we didn't get our shit together in time to do something about it before he left town. So that's the bitter part of it. The sweet part is, like, he's gone. We don't have to deal with him. He's not our problem anymore. But the bitter part is that we weren't able to, you know, like, Favre still had the upper hand on the Bears, but we were able to, you know, put a good end to that chapter. We weren't able to do that with Rodgers, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I think bittersweet is going to be how Packers fans feel about this, too. Because, right, it's the guy who's been the face of this franchise for 15 years who came in and was the heir to Favre and kind of did a lot, in a lot of ways, did things that Favre didn't do. Mm-hmm. And I mean, dominating the Bears is one of those things, right?
Yeah.
But there's also a little bit of a legacy of disappointment in the postseason. And not all of that is his fault. A lot of that was defenses blowing games for him in the postseason, but recently
your special teams units
teams, but even in that game, right, that San Francisco game, that was, you know, team scored 10 points at home in a playoff game, which just isn't good enough.
Yeah, scored a touchdown on your opening drive and then scored 3 points the rest of the way.
Yeah, so there's some blame to go around there to him too on some of those postseason failures. So between all the off the field stuff, it's time to make the move. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a group of us that are kind of ready to embrace the unknown again a little bit.
Sure.
But it's a lot easier to embrace the unknown when the known isn't nearly as good as it used to be.
Right.
And that's, you know, fundamentally, one of the biggest factors here is just that drop off he had in 2022 makes it a lot easier for the fan base, for the front office, for everybody to justify moving on, and that's where we're at.
Well, Evan, as someone who has spent a lot of time dipping his toe into the unknown, welcome to our world. You know, with the carousel.
I'm hoping against hope that things repeat, the history repeats itself, and this really is,
I bet you do,
you know, the last 15 years all over again. So we'll see. It'll be a fun journey. Well, hopefully it'll be a fun journey.
We'll see.
Fun for one of us.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I just, I hope to God that doesn't happen. I would love to actually see some parity for once, in this godforsaken division that we play in. That would be nice. You know, kind of like the NFC East, where there's a different winner every single year.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, as opposed to the Packers won it 4 years in a row, sprinkled in with one by the Vikings, 3 years in a row by the Packers. The Bears won it one time. Packers back on top for another 4 seasons, you know, and all that kind of nonsense. I just, you know, the football gods have smiled upon you guys long enough as far as that quarterback situation is concerned. It's time for you to, you know, bring in the journeyman and, you know, draft that rookie that didn't work out and, you know, all that kind of stuff. You just go ahead and deal with that for a little while, because that's the Packers I grew up watching, you know, when I was, because Favre came around in 92. I was 14 years old in 92. And here I am. I just turned 45 last week. And, 31 years of you guys with Hall of Fame quarterbacks playing for an inordinate amount of time before finally, you know, hanging up or going elsewhere. It's like, yeah, we Bear fans have had our fill of this, you know, even if Justin Fields isn't the next Aaron Rodgers of the division, you guys not having a Favre or Rodgers is something that we would be settled for at this point. You know, that we actually have a shot at a Packer game every once in a while versus it would be a miracle for us to pull one out every once in a while kind of thing. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it all unfolds. But, yeah, like I said, welcome to the great unknown where your future is uncertain, you know, where the chance of success is just as good as the chance for it all to go wrong. And, you know, you get a front row seat for it. So. Good luck.
It'll
and
be interesting.
We'll talk again, and we'll get a little bit more in depth when the off season is wrapping up for our opponent previews, you know, later on in the summer. Free agency will be done, the draft will be in the books, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll get a deeper look at what, and the schedule will be out. So all of those variables that, you know, were like could be 5 or 6 wins, could be 10 or 11, we'll have a better idea what we're looking at the next time that we see you. And that's if we don't have you on at some point for another one of those retro rewind games. Just pull out some other classic Bears Packers game that we can take a look at on YouTube and converse about for a little while. So
and God willing, next time we talk, there will at least be some resolution to this whole situation.
Yeah, they might have actually made a deal by the time we talk again. So, it might actually be official that Aaron Rodgers is a Jet instead of just kind of talking about it right now. So Evan, thanks so much for coming on. Why don't you tell everybody where we can find you out in the meantime so we can keep up on our Packers-Jets trade info.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can see all of our writing. It's acmepackingcompany.com. We've got, just covering the whole thing. Not a whole lot to talk about on free agency, but that's the Packers for you. So you can find me at Tex Western. You can find our Twitter at Acme Packing Co. As the draft gets a little bit closer, we'll be doing a lot more of our draft prep podcast as well. So my colleagues, Justice Mosqueda, Tyler Brook, I'll pop in on a couple of those as well. And if you feel like interacting with some of us during the draft, we do a lot of Twitter spaces during the draft too, so come hang out with us during draft week as well if you're interested.
All right, sounds good. Evan, thanks so much, man. Awesome. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, man. Go Pack go.
As always, want to thank Evan Western from Acme Packing Company for coming on the show and talking to us about Rodgers and the Packers and their future and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, we'll get a much better grasp on what the future and the near future and beyond looks like for Green Bay when we talk to Evan again during the opponent preview series during the late spring and early summer. And like I said, unless, of course, we get him on the show to do a retro Rewind, which I'm still trying to put a few of those episodes together. So, but before we take off, we're going to do a quick free agency review. We're basically, you guys listening to this on Thursday, we're basically at the end of the second week of open free agency. You know, today being Wednesday right now, it's almost 9:30 on Wednesday night that I'm recording this. We're officially 1 week into it, but, you know, with the legal tampering period on Monday and Tuesday, we're at the tail end of the second week of actual free agency. And the Bears were busy on day one. Four big signings for the Bears. TJ Edwards, the linebacker out of the inside linebacker out of Philadelphia, a Chicago area guy, signed a 3-year deal, $19.5 million, $12 million guaranteed. I think he's projected to be our new middle linebacker. Nate Davis, an offensive guard from the Titans, played right guard his entire career, his 4 years in Tennessee with the Titans, signed a 3-year deal with the Bears. And like the offensive line projection after this signing has the Bears moving Tevin Jenkins to the left side. And so Nate Davis can play what has been his position his entire career at the right guard right now. And when Ryan Poles met with the media last week after the first wave of free agency ended, there was talk of, you know, because moving Tevin Jenkins from the right guard to left to make room for Nate Davis, what does that do for Cody White here? He's like, well, I guess, or Poles was pretty much under the, or gave us the impression that Whitehair is at least being considered to be the center in 2023, a position that he made a Pro Bowl in 2018, when he was, you know, snapping the ball to Trubisky in that one great year the Bears had under Nagy. So Davis coming in, no financials discussed on that deal, but it is a 3-year deal for him coming into Chicago. The next big signing was a surprise because we had already signed TJ Edwards, but instead we went ahead and signed Tremaine Edmonds, the linebacker out of Buffalo. And it's interesting that the Bears signed him because if you remember when he came out to be drafted in 2018, there was a lot of debate on whether the Bears should take Roquan or if they should take Tremaine Edmonds. The only thing that really hurt Edmonds is that he's one of those kids that somehow managed to put in an entire college career and still was only 19 years old when he was about to be drafted. So I think he turned 20 just before the season started, which means right now he's only like 23, maybe 24, as we go into his fifth year in the league, or sixth year, actually. So, you know, this, he could sign another, you know, one or two more big contracts before he's done with his career. But signs with the Bears, 4 years, $72 million, $50 million guaranteed. Currently the highest paid inside linebacker in the league, or at least that's what I've read. I think, you know, Roquan is making $20 million, but I don't know if because he's in a 3-4, it's a different position or whatever. I think maybe it was the highest stand-up linebacker or something like that. I don't know. But big dollars going to Tremaine Edmonds. And, you know, for all the debate about whether or not we should take him or Roquan, in the end, Roquan is gone. Edmonds is in. And that leaves us with a very interesting situation at linebacker. So, I mean, we signed two free agents at linebacker to really solidify that position. What does that mean for Jack Sanborn? Well, we still have at a 4-3, we still got one open spot. Edmonds is going to be our Will. He's going to be our weak side linebacker, the Lance Briggs of the defense, if you will. And, you know, Edwards is projected to be our middle linebacker, which is the position that Sanborn played when Roquan got traded. With Nick Morrow having signed with the Eagles earlier this week, does that mean that Sanborn can be our strong side linebacker, or does he go back to playing special teams? I hope that doesn't happen. Would really love to see him out there with those two savages backing him up and making life easier for him. But huge signings to really take care of what was a major weakness for the Bears, especially after Roquan got traded, was obviously we still need to sign a three tech and get some interior defensive line help, whether we do that in the draft or in the waning time of free agency here. having those guys, those linebackers in the middle of the field, at least protects the second level of the defense a lot better than it did last year. So, and then finally on day one, this was all day one, with the Bears get some edge rushing help, signing DeMarcus Walker away from the Tennessee Titans, 3 years, 21 mil, 16 guaranteed, had a really solid year for the Titans last year. I mean, all of these guys played very well, obviously. Edmonds was a beast for Buffalo, has had a really solid career up to this point, even though he was thrown to the Wolves at 19 or 20 years old as a first-round pick out of Virginia Tech in 2018. And then Edwards was, an undrafted free agent, kind of like Sanborn, was an undrafted free agent that worked himself up to being, you know, A, on a Super Bowl team in Philadelphia, being a starter, being a key player for them. And now he's a Chicago area guy that gets to play for the Chicago Bears. I mean, you know, that's something that's going to play into something that I'm going to talk about here at the end of the segment. Then going forward in free agency, the Bears made another five signings. The first of two running backs the Bears signed so far, Travis Homer out of Seattle with a two-year, $4.5 million deal. He's going to be looked upon as more of a third-down special teamer kind of guy, which is who he was, because in four seasons he rushed for like 100 yards in Seattle. So not exactly somebody that we're going to be counting on to be our bell cow back. Or anything like that. The Bears have a brand new backup quarterback in PJ Walker coming out of Carolina. That was a move made shortly after we made the trade for DJ Moore. And, PJ Walker was a quarterback in Carolina, started, I think 6 or 7 games last year and had a winning record when Carolina went on that run at the end of the season where they almost won the NFC South division, which wouldn't be saying much because the winner of the division was, 8-9 or something like that. But, you know, they would have won the division. They would have hosted a playoff game and whatnot, but they came up just short at the end. PJ Walker was the quarterback down the stretch for them. And if you remember when the second inclination of the XFL started in 2020, right before the pandemic, PJ Walker was the MVP quarterback of the undefeated Houston Roughnecks before the league had to cease operations because of COVID. So, he's worked his way up into the NFL, and now he's Justin Fields' backup because the Bears released Trevor Siemian after they signed PJ Walker. So it was a 2-year deal for Walker. Financials not disclosed. And the Bears did sign a defensive tackle, Andrew Billings, from the Raiders, on a 1-year deal. Don't know much about Billings, but I believe he is a 3-tech, so he's, adding some bulk to the middle of that defensive line. And then I told you guys, when I did my little preview a couple weeks ago, I told you guys that Tonyan should be somebody the Bears go after, and I had no idea Tonyan was actually a Chicago area guy. They'd always imagined that he'd play for the Bears someday, and now he is on a 1-year deal. Tonyan, who was one of Rodgers' favorite weapons in the last couple of years, he was in and out of the lineup with an injury. He blew out his ACL, I think, in 2021, something like that. He played last year, but was kind of banged up a little bit. But he's a full year removed from the ACL surgery, so he should be full strength, ready to go this year. And he's a great complement for Cole Kmet. It's an outstanding. It's definitely an upgrade from Ryan Griffin and the other tight ends that the Bears brought in to offset Cole Kmet. And then finally, the last signing the Bears made, Deontay Foreman, running back, another Carolina Panther, joining DJ Moore in Chicago. 1 year, $3 million deal. And I got to say, I love the guy's moxie. He came in, and I think it was The Score or whoever it was he was talking to, basically said he came here to be the guy. He's like, all due respect to Khalil Herbert, I came here to be the guy. So he is coming in to, those carries that Herbert thought he inherited when Montgomery signed with the Lions, which is unfortunate. But, David Montgomery's not going to be a Bear anymore. But I think we were half prepared for that to happen. But, those carries that Herbert thought he was going to inherit because, Montgomery's out of town, Foreman says they're going to go to him instead, and Herbert's still going to be the backup. So should make for an interesting OTA training camp period. You know, with those guys going at it, trying to you know, take over the Chicago Bear running game and everything else. So those are the big ones. You know, we traded for a DJ and we signed a TJ and a PJ to answer the team. So, you know, we only got about, what, four more, you know, about 20-something more, you know, alphabet letters to, you know, we can get a JJ and a BJ and a CJ and, an EJ and all. And we can get them all in there, you know, if we try hard enough. So, you know, but we got a TJ, a PJ, and a DJ, you know, all from, you know, we got two of them from Carolina, one from Philly. And, you know, it's got some Chicago area guys in there and, you know, two that I know of with Tonyan and Edwards signing with the Bears. But let's talk a bit more about, you know, when it started getting to a certain point in day one and day two, it wasn't so much to talk about what the Bears did versus what they didn't. And what they didn't do was A, sign David Montgomery. He signed a 3-year, $18 million deal with the Lions. And when you, like, going into the offseason or like the projections as the season went along, there was a lot of talk about Montgomery demanding, you know, when he hit the market, $10 to $12 million a season. And then to see that, you know, when free agency actually started, the best the market could do was six. You figure that was definitely a low enough number that the Bears could live with to bring him back. Because it's not just the running back that we're losing. We're also losing a guy that was, you know, a leader in the locker room, somebody that, you know, the guys looked up to, that he set an example for, and things like that. So it's a lot more than just a couple hundred carries and a 1,000-yard season that we're losing here in Montgomery. And it's not like he signed for $14 million a season and the Bears just couldn't reconcile paying him that much. And he went to the Lions, so he's in the division. We get to face him, you know, twice a year. So, yeah. Not my favorite move. I understand that he was probably going to end up elsewhere, but it really sucks that he went to Detroit. So we have to play him twice a year and everything. So, but the other thing that they didn't do was what they were projected to do, which was to take a big ticket tackle off the board and take him off early. And the first one to sign was Mike McGlinchey. I heard that the Bears were in on him, but in the end, Denver offered more money than the Bears were willing to pay him. So McGlinchey goes to like 5 years, $87 million to the Denver Broncos. There was words about, you know, Caleb McGarry would be a cheaper option. He elected to stay in Atlanta for $11 million over, you know, $11 million for 3 years. Juwan Taylor out of Jacksonville was talked about for a bit. He signed with the Chiefs for like $20 million, like 4 years, $80 million or something like that. And then the last one was Orlando Brown. That was kind of like the last domino to fall as far as the big offensive tackles were concerned. And, you know, there were a lot of rumors that the Bears were talking to him and all that kind of stuff. And in the end, he ends up signing with Cincinnati. He goes to the Bengals for about $16-17 million a season to be their left tackle. And it was like two sticking points for Ryan Poles when he had that press conference to introduce the free agents and whatnot, was that he didn't quite fit the scheme. This is Ryan Poles talking. Didn't quite fit the scheme. And what was the other thing? His scheme was a big issue for us. So like what he looks for in an offensive tackle, Orlando Brown didn't quite fit the bill. He likes his offensive lineman, you know, athletic and things like that. And he didn't quite fit what it is the Bears want to do there. So the Bears missed out on the big offensive tackle. I mean, there are still guys out there, but as far as like the ones they were projected to get their hands on and bring in and everything, they all went elsewhere. And whether it was, you know, the opposition gave more money than the Bears were willing to offer, or you know, or like in Orlando Brown's case, just not being a good scheme fit. It's, you know, it was a no for Ryan Poles. He let them all go. So now it's looking like, you know, now everybody's projecting the Bears to be taking a tackle at number nine. And it makes sense because today they were at Ohio State's pro day. And, you know, a couple of the people they could be looking at Jackson Smith and Jigba, the wide receiver, and more importantly, Paris Johnson Jr., the offensive tackle, who's played both tackle positions and guard at Ohio State. I mean, he blocked for Justin Fields, as a sophomore or something like that out there. So, you know, reuniting him with Justin Fields, bringing him in, he can play either side. If the Bears are stuck with, you know, are stuck on making Braxton Jones the left tackle, you stick Ryan or, you know, stick Paris Johnson in it on the right side. That could work out pretty well. And then the other big move was that the Bears did not sign a big three tech defensive tackle. They're like top two names that were associated with the Bears. Javon Hargrave from the Philadelphia Eagles signed a crazy deal with the 49ers, like $21 million a season. I think maybe more than anything, it was his age and his price tag that probably kept the Bears away. The 49ers gave him $84 million over four seasons, and he's already 31 years old. So he's on the wrong side of 30, and he wanted way too much money as far as the Bears were concerned. And then the other one was Draymond Jones from the Broncos ended up signing a deal with the Seattle Seahawks when it was all said and done. So we didn't get our three technique. And it's like, I know Andrew Billings is an interior defensive lineman, but he's not the high ticket guy the Bears were projected to get. We could still possibly land Jalen Carter if I really hope we don't. He's a beast of a football player, but it's apparent that he doesn't love the game. You know, he showed up at his pro day after skipping the combine. He showed up at his pro day 9 pounds heavier, and he physically couldn't finish the drills, which means he hasn't been training. He's out of shape, so his head's not where it needs to be, and that's his reputation. So, but he's a supremely talented kid. And I don't know if maybe the Bears want to take a chance and think that, you know, maybe he would respond to their kind of coaching and end up being the player that everyone thinks he can be. Someone who was talked about as being the best player in the draft and projected at number one when the Bears had the pick and everything. So, you know, maybe they come around and they take a chance on him. I don't know. I would not be a fan of it, quite frankly, but it's still a need for us right now is basically what I'm saying. Like, will we use one of our 2 second round picks to take somebody? You know, will we look at, another edge rusher like a Van Ness out of the University of Iowa and whatnot at number 9? Will we go with the wide receiver in Jigba? Will we go with the offensive tackle in Paris Johnson and things? The Bears have a lot of options at 9, and that's if we don't trade back again. That's also something else they might do. Maybe we'll snag another first rounder and have 3 to work with in 2024. So, but, and then the other big name that the Bears were kind of connected to was Bobby Okereke, because of his time with Eberflus in Indianapolis. He ends up signing a 4-year deal with the Giants. So I don't think I didn't see the Bears being projected to take like Edmonds, maybe Edwards because he was a Chicago guy, but pretty much everybody we signed was just like, huh, they went with the Bears. Interesting. Or the Bears were interested in them. And in the end, it really kind of came down to, like, for TJ Edwards, like for Robert Tonyan, these were guys who grew up in Chicago and always wanted to be Bears, and here they are. And it seemed like Mike McGlinchey was more hung up on the money than he was about, you know, returning to the Midwest to, you know, be a part of what the Bears are doing in Chicago. Tremaine Edmonds, you know, yeah, he signed for big money, but he wanted to come to Chicago. He wanted to be a Bears linebacker and help build what the Bears and Ryan Poles are trying to work towards and everything. And I think that's what probably makes these guys better fits than what those high-ticket guys were. I mean, I know, aside from Montgomery, everybody else on that list followed the money, which is what you do when you're a free agent. But, you know, Montgomery was a disappointment because it was 3 years, $6 million per. And, you know, the Bears even now have $41 million in cap space we could have afforded to keep him. But we went a different way. Right now, Herbert or Foreman will be our starting running back with Homer coming off the bench or playing special teams for us. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it all works out. You know, overall, the Bears did not kind of go the way that I thought they would. We got, you know, 2 linebackers. We got a tight end. We got 2 running backs. but no offensive tackles. No, you know, we got one edge rusher, but not any of the high ticket guys that we possibly could have. There are still some guys out there like a Frank Clark and whatnot that could sign for, you know, a team friendly deal later on down the line, but we'll see. But now I really am looking forward to the draft. I mean, we still got the third wave of free agency and, you know, another 5 weeks to go before the draft takes place. But it's I'm really looking forward to the draft and what maneuvering they do there, what the Bears' focus is and the picks that they make, picking in the top 10, which is always fun and everything, or seeing what polls will do. Because he's having a masterful offseason. The trade to get the Panthers to throw DJ Moore into that trade was outstanding. I mean, it just a masterclass of moves there on his part. He's got two ones in 2024. He's got two twos in 2025. And, you know, one of the best available receivers in the league, period, you know, to come in and enhance what Justin Fields is bringing to the table. So it's all very exciting. All very exciting, but along with that excitement comes expectations, because we sat and we swallowed what the Bears tried to feed us last year, knowing that high pick, $100 million in cap space, we're going to be making moves and all that kind of stuff. But making those moves and doing those things come with expectations. So there's no way that we would sit and accept another 3-14 season. We want to see some wins. We want to see some points. We want to see production. We want to be happy about what's taking place on the field in 2023. So anyway, guys, that will do it for the Aaron Rodgers decision reaction and free agency review episode of the Bears Talk Underground. Keep your eyes on the social media at @BTU_Larry on Facebook, on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook, you can just search Bears Talk Underground and join the Facebook group so you know when the next episode is dropping, because it could be, you know, a week or two from now. Maybe we make some more signings or whatnot. It could be you know, next week if I find a partner to do a retro rewind episode with. Just keep your eyes on the social media, because this is that weird time of year where, you know, I might do three episodes in a week and then you won't hear from me for a month. Once the opponent preview series starts, you know, you pretty much got me hooked in until the end of the season. So just know that at the end of May, when the opponent preview series begin and we start talking about all of our, you know, opponents in 2023, that's when there'll be a lot more consistency, a lot more shows, and then the season starts, we hit the ground running, and off we go. So, and it'll be here before you know it, because like I told Evan during our discussion, you know, it's – next Saturday is April 1st. It's the first quarter of the year is almost already over. I mean, where does it go? So, yeah. Anyway, guys, like I said, keep an eye on the social media so we know when the next episode comes out. And until then, my name is Larry D, and this has been the Bears Talk Underground.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.